This week's parsha that we learn about is the mitzvah of bringing bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, bringing the first fruits. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Bikurim, in the third parak, that there was a big fanfare that used to go along with the bringing of the bikurim. So the Mishnah says, Hashar holech lefneim. They had a whole procession that went in front of them. They had the oxen used to go in front, v'karno b'tzupos zav, and they used to put the horns of the ox used to have gold all around them. V'atar shel zayis berosha, they would make a beautiful hat for the animal to wear. And hachalil makel lefneim, they had a whole marching band that went in front of them as well. Ad shemagiim karav liYerushalayim, then they get close to Yerushalayim, so they're at the very end of the journey. They're almost about to enter the Beis Hamikdash. So it says that as they're going to Yerushalayim, all of the people who work in the Beis Hamikdash would come out to greet them. And then it says, Kabali umnius shebu Yerushalayim omdim lifneihem. All of the workers who worked in Yerushalayim, there were many different shops, there were many different businesses. Everybody who had an accounting office and a lawyer's office, everybody came outside to greet the people who were bringing the Bikurim, v'shalim mishlamam. And they asked them, how are they doing? And they say, Achenu anshei amakom ploni basim l'shalom. They give them a bracha, they stand up for them, and then they go back to work. Now the nafkamina lahalacha, and that is the fact that we don't just say a person is allowed to take off from work whenever they want to do a mitzvah. If you're in the middle of working, you have to do the work, unless the boss gives you permission. So you take, for example, when I was in the White Shul, we used to have a conference call every Thursday. And we had a conference call that was a 10-minute conference call on Parsha. So a lot of people used to call in, and they used to listen for 10 minutes. It was at 12:30 or whatever time it was. So there was somebody who was very upset that she worked in a doctor's office, and she said the other nurses are going 10 minutes in the middle of the day on Thursday. They would pick up the phone, and they would not pay attention to everything that was going on in the office because they have to listen to Rabbi Shechter's Parsha Shir. So she came to me, and she upset, rightfully so, that why is it that people are feeling that they have the right to go ahead and give up on the business and allow the office to be in disarray just because they want to listen to the Parsha Shir. Now that's a very important claim, and she's 100% correct. We don't have a right to go and perform our own activities, our own mitzvahs, while we're being paid by a boss. You have to ask the boss specifically. Over here, the boss specifically said, she was the manager, she said, I don't want everybody going and taking the 10 minutes off in the middle of the day to go listen to your Parsha Shir. Let them do it at another time. So it's a very important halacha. But here, the Mishnah tells us that the Bali Umnius, that all the people who worked in the offices in Yerushalayim had the right. It wasn't cheating from the manager. They had the right and the obligation to go out and stand up for the people who were bringing the Bikurim. So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, as well as in Maseches Chulin, why is it that we find by Bikurim we have this obligation to stand up for the people who are bringing the Bikurim? So the first reason that the Gemara presents is Kedei Shelo Tehe Machshilan Li Asad Lava, which means you want to somehow encourage them in the future that they should be performing this mitzvah once again. So if we show them, everybody likes a little bit of kavod, everybody likes a little bit of that, so therefore, if you show them the kavod, if you show them the respect by coming out of your office and standing up for them, so then they will be encouraged the next year to make the trip back to Yerushalayim once again. That's the first pshat that the Gemara says. Now, this is not a foreign concept in halacha. Rav Moshe talks about, let's say you have a Hatzalah member who on Shabbos has to drive to the scene of an accident, whatever it might be, and then he takes care of whatever it is that has to be taken care of. And now he wants to go home. So there's a big shaila whether or not you're allowed to drive back to the house, or should you assume you have to leave everything there and walk back and then go pick your car up after Shabbos. So Rav Moshe said that you have every right, he proved it from a Gemara, you have every right to go ahead and answer the call and drive your car to the call, and you have a right to come back as well. You have a right to come back as well after the call is over in your car. And Rav Shlomo Zalman very strongly rejected. Rav Shlomo Zalman has in the Mincha Shlomo that he thought that the Pshat in the Gemara in Beitza is not at all like the way Rav Moshe learned it, and he thought that the Gemara in Beitza indicates clearly that you're only allowed to go on the call because that's Pikuach Nefesh, but you don't have a right to come back, and you don't have a right to violate an Issur D'Oraisa by driving the car to come back. So this was a major point of discussion when Hatzalah started here in America, and they were trying to define what are the guidelines, what are we allowed to do. So should we be following Rav Moshe Feinstein? Should we be following Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? But either way, Rav Herzog, the chief rabbi in Yerushalayim, also weighed in on the issue. And Rav Herzog, not chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, chief rabbi of the state of Israel, Rav Herzog wrote in his Tshuvas Heichal Yitzchak that he sided with Rav Moshe. He thought Rav Moshe's understanding was correct, and he adds in, Kedei Shelo Tehe Machshilam Liyasalavu. Imagine you're going to have a Hatzalah member who's going on a call, and then you're going to tell him he has to stay there for the rest of Shabbos, he has to leave his car there. There he is in the middle of the highway, and he's going to leave his car there. Who knows if it's going to be there after Shabbos? He leaves the keys in there, he's not allowed to carry them. So he said, you have to be concerned that next time when an accident happens on Shabbos, he's not going to want to go. We have to do something to encourage him to want to go back again, and therefore he applied this principle of Kedei Shelo Tehe Machshilan Liyasalavu. Similarly, the Ramah writes in Yeredei and Hilchos Tzedakah. The Rama has very strong words. He says, "Lo yispar adam b'tzedakah shehu nosein." A person should not pride themselves in the tzedakah that they give, in the charity that they are giving away. V'imispar, and if a person chooses to go and tell everybody about all the wonderful gifts that they've been giving, lo dai she'ena mekabel schar, not only do you lose the reward for the tzedakah that you gave, ela afilu ma'anishim oso aleh, you get punished for the fact that you're going around and flaunting all of the tzedakah that you have given to very important causes. The Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Samach Vav that one of the greatest philanthropists at the time of Chazal was somebody by the name of Nachdiman Ben Gurion. The Gemara says he was a tremendous person. He used to give away so much money, and the Gemara tells us there that although he gave away all of his money to tzedakah, and although he was helping so many people out, and he was donating to all the causes that needed his money, still the Gemara says in the end his family suffered, in the end his family lost all of their money. And the Gemara asks, how could it be? How could it be that Nachdiman Ben Gurion, who was such a wealthy man, who gave away so much tzedakah, how could it be he lost it? The Gemara answers, because lichvodo hu diavid, he did it all for his own honor, for his own pleasure. He wanted that everybody should give him respect over the fact that he had all this money. He gave it away, and for the Gemara says he was punished for that. So the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, let's say we're making a collection and we want to build a new shul and we want that everybody should contribute a certain amount of money, and somebody comes along and he says, no, I want to have the rights to build the whole shul myself. So it costs $500,000 for the shul back in the days of the Magen Avraham, not anymore. So it costs a certain amount of money. Somebody says, I'm a wealthy man, I'm going to give all the money. I don't want anyone else's name on the building. It's only going to be me, nobody else. I don't want anyone paying for the light bulbs. I don't want anyone paying for any of the architecture in the shul. I'm going to pay for everything. So the Rama writes over there that if a person chooses to do that, he says there was a story that somebody did do that. And everybody wanted to contribute. They felt good about the fact that there was a building campaign, they were going to be a part of the new shul, of the new community. And he refused. He said, it's all or none. Either you're going to take my donation and build the whole shul with my money, only my name, or I'm not giving any money at all. And he said, the reason why he wanted that is Kadesha Yehelo Ulizar Ulizecher Lashem. It's not for me. It's so that my children, my grandchildren who live in this neighborhood will see how important it is that they should give tzedakah, that they should see that their grandfather gave a lot of money. And the Magen Avraham writes, Vikala Zaro. This person's grandchildren were all taken away. He lost his grandchildren. Because that's not an appropriate attitude. That's what the Rama writes. It's not appropriate for a person to flaunt the tzedakah that they give. And yet, even though the Rama takes this very seriously, and the Rama and the Magen Avraham say a person has to be very careful not to flaunt and not to always ask for honor because of the money that you give, the Rama writes there, in the end, that he quotes a Tshuva Zarashba, that still, Misha Magdish Davar Litzdaka, if a person gives money, a sizable amount of money to Tzdaka, Mutur Lo Sheyichdav Shmo Alav Sheyehelo Lizikaron V'ro'i Lasos Kein. The Rama writes, even though it's not really right, even though you're not really supposed to do it, nowadays he says we have the practice to do it, and Ro'i Lasos Kein is the right thing to do. Why is it the right thing to do? So they explain the reason why is because Kedei Shelo Tehei Machshilan Liyasodava. We all know, you see your friend is going to give money, it will encourage you to give money as well. You see that somebody else is going to be inspired by the money that you're giving, so put my name on the building. Put my name on that people should see that I gave, and that will hopefully promote others, it will hopefully encourage others, and inspire them to go ahead and give as well. And that's why the Rama writes, Kedei Shelo Tehei Machshilan Liyasodava, in order that in the future we should have people who will be encouraged to do the same act as you were doing, although we look down very negatively on a person who goes and looks out for his own honor, but since we have the factor of a person trying to encourage others by the act that they're doing, therefore we assume that it is permissible by tzedakah, and that's generally the practice, that's what we do. Lahavdil elef alf dehavdalis. We know that in certain communities you have a terrorist who unfortunately successfully kills hundreds of people or a few people, whatever it might be. They name soccer tournaments after them and they name summer camps after them. Why? Because they want to encourage the youth to be just like this person who they're holding up on the pedestal. Again, we know that that's the way the world works, that you are encouraged when you have somebody who you look up to and you see that their name is associated with a certain act, you're also going to do the same thing. And that's why in certain sections of society they use it in the wrong way, and in certain parts of society we use it in the right way, because we believe that that's the way that we can encourage people to do what they have to do. Now the Ben Yehoyada asks, why is it that we're concerned all of a sudden by Bikurim? We have to encourage them. Why are we so concerned that maybe they're not going to do the mitzvah next year? What, if you don't stand up for them, if you don't get up for them, they're not going to want to do the mitzvah the next time it comes around? How come? How come we don't stand up every day when a person puts on tefillin? Because maybe tomorrow morning he won't want to put on the tefillin. So the Ben Yehoyada suggests maybe the reason why is because you think about the mitzvah of Bikurim. It is so modest, it's so inexpensive. So what? A person can laugh at themselves and say, okay, I did it. I brought the mitzvah, I brought the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. Next year he's going to say to himself, what, for the $5 of the first fruits that I grow, I have to travel all the way to the Beis HaMikdash with all the taking off from work for a week? I have to do it for that, just for the little bit of money, just for the simple, for the modest Bikurim that I'm going to offer? It's not worth it. And therefore we go out of our way specifically that people shouldn't laugh at the small act of the Bikurim. We go out of our way and we say, make sure that you stand up for them, make sure you give them the honor that they deserve, because they are performing a mitzvah and we want to encourage them to want to do it again in the coming year. So that is the first reason that the Gemara gives. Kedei shelo tehe machshilan liyased lava. We want to encourage people to perform a mitzvah in the coming year. The second reason the Gemara gives is because chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Because we want to show our respect for a mitzvah, and therefore the farmer who's involved in doing a mitzvah in the Havas Bikurim, therefore we assume that we should show the honor to him by standing up. Now the Noda Behuda points out, I don't understand. So how come every time I pass somebody who's putting on tefillin, I should also say I should have to stand up for him? And every time I pass anybody doing any mitzvah, I should have to stand up for them? Why is it that this is limited only to somebody who brings Bikurim? So the Noda Behuda says, no, because that's unreasonable. What are you going to tell me? I have an office and I have a job. So every 5 minutes I'm going to have to stand up because there's somebody walking by is doing a mitzvah and now somebody else is going to do a mitzvah, so I can never get any work done. I can't work like that. So therefore the Noda Behuda writes, when you have a mitzvah that is bam izman lizman, when you have a mitzvah that comes around periodically, when you have a mitzvah that is unusual, like Bikurim, so then we stand up to show chashivas, to show chavivas to the mitzvah. But generally when a person does a mitzvah on a regular day, we don't have to go out of our way to stand up for them because that will interrupt the flow of life. It won't allow us to live if we're always going to have to be going out of our way to stand up for anybody that we pass who is performing a mitzvah. Either way, the Bartanura extrapolates from this Mishnah that this is also the reason why somebody who performs other mitzvahs, we stand up for them as well. You ever wonder, why is it that we go to Vayah and we stand up for the person when they bring in the Aron? You never respected the guy when he was alive. All of a sudden when he's dead and he's in the casket, now you're going to stand up for him? They say, please rise, they're bringing in the casket. So what, they're bringing the casket? I'm only at the Levaya because I thought it was the right thing to do, but I never cared for this person. So why do I have to go and stand up for them? I never stood up for them b'chayim when they were alive. So the Bartanura says, no, we're not standing up for the person who is no longer alive. We're standing up for the Nosei Hamita. We're standing up for the people, for the pallbearers, for the people who are involved in the mitzvah of Kvuras Hameis, because we show our respect to them for the tremendous activity of the mitzvah that they are involved in. And similarly, he says, you ever wonder, why do we stand up for a child when they bring in the kid for the bris? The Kvater, they say, oh, everybody should stand up. Why should everybody stand up? What's so exciting? Why is that different than a person who puts on tefillin? I don't stand up for the guy who's putting on tefillin next to me in the morning. Says the Bartanura, because you're standing up not for the child who's being brought into the bris, but you're standing up for the person, for the father, or for the person who's carrying the child and involved in a mitzvah to help facilitate that mitzvah to happen. The Sefer Hasidim writes, even if it's a complete amaretz, even if you have somebody who's not a Talmid Chacham at all, let's say you have somebody on the Chevra Kadisha who's not learned, who doesn't know anything, doesn't even know a Pasuk in Chumash, but they're the ones who are involved in helping to bury this person, you have to stand up for them because we show our respect for the mitzvah that they are involved in. Rav Soloveitchik famously commented that the Talmidim asked him, why is it that we stand up for a chassan when he goes down to the chuppah, he gets married. So everybody always says, chassan dom elemelech. You have to stand up for a king, so you stand up for the chassan. Rav Soloveitchik said it's a big mistake, because chassan dom elemelech is true, but that's only after he gets married. Right now, before he does the kiddushin, before he does the nisuin, he's not a chassan, he's not a kala, there's nothing at all. Rav Soloveitchik, I think my father told me that maybe Rav Hirsch was careful, or Rav Soloveitchik, I don't remember what he said, but he told me that they were careful never to call them chassan and kala while they're engaged, because nowadays, engagement doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything halachically, it just means we've promised each other that we're going to get married, but we didn't do anything yet. Back in the times of Chazal, they would do the Kiddushin, then they would wait 12 months, and then they would do the Nisuin, so then they were really a Chassan and a Kala. But nowadays, before we go and march down the aisle, before we do the Kiddushin, we have nothing. So you can't say the reason why we stand up for the Chassan is because he's a Chassan Dom HaLamelech. He's not a Chassan yet. He didn't do anything yet. And that's where Soloveitchik said you have to be careful not to call him a Chassan, because he said he found in his experience that if you're going to start calling them a Chassan and Kala, they think that certain things are already allowed. They think they're allowed to touch each other already. They think they're allowed to hug each other and kiss each other because we're already a little bit married. We're already engaged. We're already a Chassan and Kala. If you make it clear to them that they're not yet a Chassan and Kala and all the restrictions apply, yichud, and all the halachas that applied beforehand still apply, then perhaps they'll be a little more careful. So Rav Soloveitchik said the reason why we stand up for a Chassan is rather because he's on his way to perform a mitzvah. And the same way you would stand up for somebody who carries a child to a bris milah, in the same way you stand up for somebody who's carrying the aron at a levaya, so too you stand up, lahavdil, for a chasen who's walking to his chasana because he's about to perform a tremendous mitzvah. The Pischei Tshuva and Yoredeya, Hilchas Tzedakah, talks about standing up for a gabbai tzedakah. Should you stand up when a gabbai tzedakah walks around with a pushka? Maybe we should stand up for them as well. So the Pischei Tshuva says that, well, it depends. If he's a salaried gabbai tzedakah and this is his job, so why should we stand up for him? He's doing his job just like the lawyer's doing his job. It happens to be your job is a job of a mitzvah, but it doesn't mean we should stand up for you. However, he says if you have generally in our communities where we have somebody who's a gabbai tzedakah, he's not being paid for it, he goes around with a pushka, so therefore, Pischei Tshuva writes, we should express our honor to that person, we should stand up for them out of respect for the mitzvah that they're doing. And this, my father told me once in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that maybe this is the reason. The Mefarshim are not really sure, why do we stand up when we say the paragraph Vayivarech David? It's not clear. Where did that minute come from? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky told my father once that perhaps the reason why is because by Vayivarech David, our practice is Va'osher Va'kavod Milfanecha, that's when the Gabbai goes around and collects the tzedakah. So maybe we're standing up at Vayivarech David because the minig was that that's when the Gabbai went around to collect the tzedakah, and we're standing up not for Vayivarech David, but rather for the Gabbai tzedakah who's going around to perform the mitzvah of encouraging everybody to collect the tzedakah money from all those who are in shul. So this is a issue that is raised, that at some mitzvahs, at some experiences that we have throughout our year, perhaps we should be standing up for the people who are involved and engaged in certain mitzvahs. Again, the Noda Behuda writes, you can't expect a person to stand up every time anybody's doing a mitzvah, you'll never get anything done. But when you have a mitzvah that's ba mizman lezman, something that comes around every so often, like a bris milah, like a chasana, like a levaya, which unfortunately doesn't happen that infrequently, but still, when you have something of that nature, that's why we stand up, to show respect for the person that is involved in the particular